Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Two bills that would regulate how and when police officers can use deadly force have been working their way through the California legislature. They're now in the amendment stage. Tuesday morning, one of those bills comes up for its first committee hearing. That's AB 392, the Weber bill. Meanwhile, there's been an interesting development with the other one, SB 230. That one is authored by Senator Ana Caballero. Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler picks up the story there for this week's Capitol Chat. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Beth.
So let's go to what's new.
So this is, of course, a very pivotal moment in this pivotal debate over whether California will adopt a stricter standard for when police officers can use deadly force. One of the biggest battles at the Capitol this year, and especially resonant here in Sacramento in the aftermath of the Sacramento police shooting of Stephon Clark. So what's new is this bill from Senator Caballero, which would leave the existing standard for use of deadly force in place, the reasonable standard, what a reasonable officer would do, but really step up the training of officers and the policies and standards statewide. What she wants to do is to create this set of best practices pulled from progressive cities around the country, and have each law enforcement agency, from the California Highway Patrol down to local college police departments, implement their policies that adhere to these best practices. That is the top line of what she is working. She is going to be amending her bill to say.
If I ask you why this is important, there's the microscopic and then the bigger macro answer to that. But what is important to know is that this is coming out of the Stephon Clark case, which led to oversight, which led to recommendations to the Sacramento Police Department. So with that in mind, let's say, why is this important?
It signifies that law enforcement is willing to embrace at a statewide level stronger use of force policies and training efforts than they had been to date. And it matters because you have these two rival bills, one that would change the standard for use of force from reasonable to necessary, that law enforcement is very fearful of.
That's the Weber bill.
Exactly, the Weber bill. And the Caballero bill, which law enforcement backs. Given that debate, a lot of the grassroots energy is around the Weber bill. Law enforcement want their bill to move forward. In the end, maybe both do, maybe one does, who knows? But we are pretty sure that there will be something at the Capitol this year about this most vital of subjects. And this is a key moment because it signifies law enforcement at a statewide level are willing to embrace these recommendations for stronger training and better tactics.
You talked to both authors yesterday. Let's start with your chat with Senator Ana Caballero. And in this, you were trying to clarify about her approach and the goal of establishing some best practices.
So what I was trying to figure out is whether this was going to be a statewide mandate of that every department must do exactly what the law lays out. And instead, it's not quite that. I said, so basically you're saying it's best practices and then let local and state agencies work out policies that are consistent. And here's what she said.
That's exactly right. And actually, the best practices that we've put down in our bill is a reflection of the best practices that have been articulated all over the country. So we've taken best practices from some of the more progressive cities, and we've put them into our bill.
Becerra made some recommendations to SAC PD, and I think he was looking at some of the same things.
That's exactly right. And frankly, I've taken a look at the recommendations that the Attorney General put into the report for SAC PD, and I venture to say almost every single one of them are in our bill.
Gotcha. Is it your goal to have them in print before Tuesday morning so that as lawmakers in the Assembly Public Safety Committee consider AB 392, that they're aware of what you're doing with your bill?
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing. I mean, whether we get them back or not, I haven't checked with staff to see what day they're anticipated coming back. You know, what's important is
either
that...
Either way, you told me about it. I'm going to report it, so I guess
yeah.
Anyway.
No, yeah. and the bottom line is that it's not an either-or situation. I think the opponents or the advocates want to say, don't do that because it doesn't do anything, do this. But that's really not the truth. Truth of the matter is that our bill is the bill that talks about de-escalation, that talks about alternative ways to be able to handle someone that's not cooperative or that you feel is a threat to the public or to yourself. And what we're trying to do is to create an opportunity for everybody to know what the new standards are, everybody to be retrained, and that's going to be a significant investment from the state of California, and to do it in a way that is responsible to the fact that we do send police officers to do a really dangerous job. So my bill is a looking forward. How do we get to a point where we reduce the number of incidents that we have that's deadly force and maybe eliminate them, but more importantly, the use of force, period. And so that's the goal of my bill. I don't go back and try to figure out whether we could have changed something in the past. I think that's really difficult.
Tracking what the two bills do, where they each have their allies and their support, and how they would change life for officers and citizens on the street can be really complicated and really in the weeds right now, Ben. I will add that the Attorney General, Javier Becerra, and the Sacramento City Police Chief, Chief Daniel Hahn, are involved in this because of the Stephon Clark case and the discussion that's happened. She did not say to you specifically, Ben, that those recommendations from the Attorney General were used to write her bill, or that she even reviewed those recommendations when writing the bill. Has she addressed that at all?
Well, not to me. I think what I would say is that she has been working very closely with law enforcement groups. They are really writing the bill together. And law enforcement groups are familiar with the Attorney General's recommendations to the Sacramento Police Department. I was actually checking in with the head of the Sacramento Police Union yesterday, Tim Davis of the Sacramento Police Officers Association. He really likes those recommendations from the Attorney General, and said there were only maybe a couple that he, you know, and he said there were minor ones that wouldn't be the end of the world that he would disagree with. But I think the fact that there is also, you know, some closeness between police groups and Attorney General Becerra that has gotten Becerra some criticism, I might add. Whether it's you know, I don't think there's copying and pasting here going on here. I'm sure there are conversations going on between all of these parties that are leading to these amendments. I think the key question is, again, whether eventually this might become a set of statewide mandates or not. I did ask Senator Caballero about that. She said not at this point, but that's what the committee process and the legislative process are about.
You are listening to Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler, and this week's Capitol Chat is focused on the two use of force bills working their way through the California legislature. You can find Ben's latest story and descriptions of each of the bills by going to our webpage. That's capradio.org/insight. So let's go to the other bill, AB 392, authored by Assemblymember Shirley Weber. It has the support of many civil rights groups, and the changes a lot of people describe as even more dramatic in this bill?
Significantly more dramatic because, yes, it right now under U.S. Supreme Court law, we're talking about a standard that deals with whether an officer uses lethal force in a reasonable manner, what another reasonable officer would do in that position. And the Weber bill would Democratic Assembly Member Shirley Weber of San Diego, also a lead co-author is Kevin McCarty, the Sacramento from the Sacramento area. This measure would raise the standard from reasonable to necessary, whether it's truly necessary for the officer to use deadly force in that situation. And so we're talking about what kind of amendments might happen to the Caballero bill with the overall goal of bringing these two sides somewhere in the middle where they can meet up. And, well, what about the Weber bill? Might there be some amendments to that bill? And let's hear from Dr. Weber.
Necessary, it will always be the piece that's there, and that's the crux and the heart of the bill. So we're not looking at changing necessary.
But there's different ways of defining the word
exactly.
Necessary.
Exactly, and we are more than willing to talk to folks about how do they define it. We're looking, hopefully, that once it gets out of committee, others will want to say, okay, let's talk about what is necessary and not necessary in terms of definitions.
So the first committee hearing comes up on Tuesday. I guess at that point, we see what's been done in the amendment phase, correct?
Well, the hearing Tuesday is for the Weber bill. We don't know of any amendments necessarily, though my sense is that she is struggling a bit for votes. I suspect it gets through this committee hearing. It's a bad look for a lot of people if it doesn't get through this committee hearing, but I think she has some work to do to get it off the assembly floor. The Caballero bill, we're still waiting for a day, and it's unclear whether the Senate Public Safety Committee Chair, Nancy Skinner, will allow that bill to move forward or if she may block it.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
I'll refer everybody with more background interest to our webpage. Ben Adler is Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, and there's more government news at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.
This is Cap Radio, 90.9 Sacramento and 91.3 Stockton Modesto, your NPR station. We get support from the Mondavi Center, UC Davis, presenting Ballet Prejico and Havana, Cuba, all stars performing Cuban Nights, tickets at mondaviarts.org. And from Sacramento County Department of Waste Management and Recycling, announcing a midweek open garden April 10th at the Fair Oaks Horticulture Center, demonstrations on gardening, composting, and more, sacmg.ucanr.edu.
It can seem like all political stories come out of Washington, D.C., but really, a lot of stories start where you live. I'm Tamara Keith, and when local politics becomes national news, I want to hear what this station is saying. It helps me to understand the story and share it with listeners across the country and around the world. This station is where the story starts. Help it go further.
Hi, I'm Steve Milne with Linnea Edmeyer. Thanks for listening today. We're going to take just a couple minutes to explain why it's the perfect time to become a member of Cap Radio and support Insight. Now's the time to do it.
Capital Public Radio works, and we're committed to providing you with the stories that keep you informed. We cover the work of your legislature and help you understand how these issues affect you. Today is the day you step up and support the work that you want to listen to. 1-800-800-5867, or you can go on to capradio.org.
You depend on Beth Rujak and Ben Adler and our other reporters to keep you up to date and informed about what's happening in your community and throughout the world. Well, Cap Radio is counting on you to help pay for it with a contribution. And with an evergreen donation, you don't have to listen to fund drives dreading whether your membership is current. It is. Or run to the phone to be entered in our drawings, because you are. And you'll find fewer pleas for money in your mailbox from us anyway. So go evergreen, sit back, and enjoy Cap Radio.
Yeah, and today we have one of those drawings. There are two chances to win an REI $500 gift card. Okay, $500 wow. Gift card. Wow, you could, I mean, that's a bicycle. That's not just a few things here and there. You could actually, hey, get out there. It's springtime. Maybe you have some things on your wish list. That REI $500 gift card is today only. So your opportunity to get that window is closing. 1-800-800-5867, or you can go on to capradio.org and support the work that we do. Support the programs like Insight that you enjoy.
Cap Radio first began broadcasting April 2nd, 1979. That's 40 years of public radio in Sacramento. What hasn't changed in all that time is how we rely on you to grow and pay for what you hear. Make your online contribution now. That address is capradio.org, or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-5867.
Yeah, it's time to donate for everything you hear. Morning Edition, Marketplace, Insight. Just think, this next segment is possible because of you. Make your donation now by phone at 1-800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867, or online at capradio.org.
Cap Radio is dedicated to keeping you informed about what's going on in your community and your world. And we are hoping to hear from you now with a contribution. It's part of teamwork, and you're a part of that team. 1-800-800-5867. Or capradio.org.
And thank you to everyone who stepped up already. We've heard from Sacramento, Penn Valley, Loomis. Thank you for your support. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.